quite catch the, remember the name.
Be still my soul.
Be still my soul, yeah. All right, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to give the last part of the message this morning, imitating our Father. And we're in a section dealing with the holiness, or our walk of holiness in the Lord. And then next week, we'll get into what it means to be Spirit-filled. And then after that, at the next opportunity in the book of Ephesians, I want everybody present because we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled marriage and Spirit-filled children. Right? Is there such a thing? Okay. All right. And we're going to talk about that coming up in the book of Ephesians. Now, this morning we talked about, let's just read one verse tonight. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And we talked about how that word followers there is the word mimic or imitate. And he sets forth some principles. If we're going to mimic or imitate our Father in our walk, we saw this morning that we're going to have to walk in love, verses 1 and 2, and walk in light. And we're going to finish that tonight in verses 3 through 14. And then we're going to have to walk in wisdom. So we talked this morning about walking in love in verses 1 and 2. Because we have been redeemed with a great price and we are God's children. And we talked about walking in the light, beginning in verse 3 through 14. And we talked about we're not to walk in darkness, verse 3 through 7. And we talked about some sins that are listed there in verse 3 through 7. And we talked about we are to walk in the light in verses 8 through 14. Now I want to pick up right there in verses 8 through 13. And we're going to ask the question here. What does it mean to walk in the light? Well, let's notice verse 8, first of all, in our text. What does it mean to walk in the light? For we were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It means to be transparent before God. And I don't know why we try to hide things from God, but he certainly knows the beginning from the end, right? And we think we can hide things from him. But verse 8 says that he sees everything and that we are to live a transparent life before him and other people. Also in verse 8, we are to reveal God's light in our daily life, letting our light shine, letting our transformed life shine before those that God puts in our path. And then in verses 19 through 14, we see that light reveals two things. Look in verse 9, if you will, of our text. We're going to kind of skip around here a little bit till we can get to verse 15. Verse 9, light does two things. Number one, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, number one, light reveals and gives out spiritual fruit, right? We talked about that some this morning. If we're not walking in the light, there's not going to be any spiritual fruit in our life. And then also the second thing light does in verses 10 through 14, it reveals error, it reveals truth. And once you reveal truth, you don't really have to be looking first to reveal error. When you reveal truth, error will be exposed for what it is. And we talked about that. Now notice verse 11, if you will. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Christians are not to have anything to do with the evil works of darkness. We're not to be in joint participation, a common interest, or activity in evil works. It's called the doctrine of separation. And we need to be mindful of that. We are to reprove them. We are to charge or confront with the truth to expose error. And we are to reject error and not have anything to do with it. Now, Paul in verse 14 gives an invitation to the lost to come to the light. Look in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, here he's talking about lost people. And he quotes Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, where it talks about Israel awaking to a new day in the millennium. And he gives an invitation to come to the light and awake to a new day. Arise from the dead, give thee light. These are terms that deal with the lost, see? And so he gives an invitation to the lost. So if we're going to imitate our Father, we've got to walk in the love, we've got to walk in the light. But then lastly, we need to walk in wisdom. and verses 15 through 17. And let's do something tonight, okay? That'll be our text tonight. So if you will, let's stand in honor of God's word and let's begin reading verse 15. Walking in wisdom. So because of all that, walking in love, walking in light, walking in holiness, see then, he tells us that we ought to walk basically in wisdom. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. Of course, we'll talk about that next week, being spirit filled. So the third point then is to walk in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, as we finish this tonight, Lord, that is our goal, to mimic and imitate you. That is our goal, to walk as you walk. That is our goal, to imitate our Heavenly Father. That's why you saved us. That's why you want to conform us into the image of your Son. And this makes a difference in our lives. We no longer walk as we used to walk. We no longer love what we used to love. We no longer desire the ambitions that we used to have. We have a heavenly perspective of holy ambitions. We have a longing for heavenly things and ultimately to see you and be in your presence. And so we ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what does it mean to walk in wisdom? What does it mean to walk circumspectly mean in verse 15a? It means walk looking around and not stumble, you know? As we went on vacation, and I know y'all saw this when you were on vacation, when you get around a lot of people, it's very evident that their heads and their eyes are in their cell phones, and they're walking. I saw people running into all kind of things while we were on vacation, you know? I was even guilty of it at times, almost walking. Well, you don't want to walk in the mountains looking at your cell phone, do you? You'll end up in the valley. But we need to look around. And it's not talking about physically. It's being spiritually. We need to be alert, aware, looking around at that things that would cause us to stumble, to walk smart and not in ignorance, to be aware of the dangers out there and the Satan and what's out there in the world. And we're to walk in Christ, and we're not to walk foolishly, stumbling through life, not seeking God's will. And there are many today, even though they claim to be Christians, they walk with no guidance from the Scriptures, from the Spirit. They just kind of, meandering through the Christian life, and there's no really direction in their lives. It means to not drift in your sleep. Don't sleepwalk with the things of God, but most of all, take every opportunity we have that God has given us, redeem the time. Now, why are we to walk circumspectly? If there's ever a day we need to walk circumspectly, it's today. There's so much fraud. There's so much religious fraud out there. So many charlatans that are grabbing for you and you're diverting you from the true Christ. And we need to walk circumspectly. Why do we need to do that? Well, verse 15, it is a mark of wisdom. Look in the latter part of verse 15. Not as fools, but as wise. The wise walk is a walk that puts Jesus in the midst of your walk, right? He's in the center of your day. Wake up and say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Who would you have to put in my path today? I want to be able to not to do my thing, but your thing. Whatever it is, whoever you want me to witness to, whoever you want me to encourage or warn, put them in my path and I might be aware of them. In other words, walk the steps of Jesus. He's the center of your day. We are not to imitate our Father by we are to imitate our Father by walking in love and walking in light. Now, why else are we to walk circumspectly? Look at verse 16. Our days are numbered. I hate to tell you that tonight, but your days are numbered, right? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time means to buy back the time or to make the most of your time that God has given you. Don't waste time on those things outside God's will, right? We need to spend our time doing the things of God, right? Are women tonight? If it's not edifying, if it's not bringing glory to God, and it's not building me up or anybody else up, I need to spend my time somewhere else, right? So we need to redeem the time. Don't waste time on those things outside the will of God. Time. Look at that word time. He's not talking about a chronological clock here. He's not talking about clock time, but a measured or fixed period of time, a season or an epoch. So, and we go through different seasons in our own life, right? Physically and spiritually, but we are to be circumspectly walking, redeeming the time, because guess what? Once you miss an opportunity, you missed it. You're not going to get it back, right? And so that means, as I look at this text, I believe that God has set preset boundaries in our lives, and he's given us preset opportunities for service that exist within those boundaries. And we are to make the most of the time we have and devote it to the Lord. So sad to see people. A lot of things that they do is not going to make a hill of beans before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, I don't care how many hot dogs you ate at the contest at the county fair. You know, it's not going to matter whatsoever, you know. And so we need to walk circumspectly because our days are numbered. And by the way, we don't know when our number is up, right? The Bible speaks of our days as being, God knows the number of hairs on our head. So some of us are getting shorter lives, aren't we? And we know that. Why else are we to walk circumspectly? Well, look in verse 16, latter part of verse 16. The days are evil. I don't have to tell you that, do I? He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have little time and we have much opposition in the kingdom of God, against the kingdom of God. How it must break God's heart to see us blow the opportunities that he has given us. And he sends us out to go out and make an eternal difference, and we wasted it on some kind of stupid thing, you know. And we need to redeem the time. Now, I'm not saying we're not to have fun and do things like that, but that's not the desire of our heart anymore. That's not the main thing of our heart. So the days are evil. How else are we to walk circumspectly? Why? Well, we might understand the will of God. Look in verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding by the will of God, by the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. Again, you know, the Bible speaks, if you don't have Christ, you're not wise, right? If you don't know God, you're not wise. I mean, they may be able to break an engine down and put it back together, but if they're lost, they're not wise, right? They may be in academics, and you know, and look at us deplorables and say, you're so ignorant and so backward, you know. But if they don't know Christ, they're dumber than we are, right? True wisdom is found in God, isn't it? And that's where it's found. Our days are numbered because the days are evil. It should give us an understanding of the will of God, right? If we ever should have the dross coming off our life, if we ever should narrow down what we're here for, it should be the day in which we live, right? Because of the days are evil, and it should focus us on what is really important and what God wants for our lives. We often hear, I can't find the will of God, it's hard. Well, let me give you two thoughts. I've shared these with you before, and this will help you. God's will is found through the scriptures. It's found by the Spirit of God. It's found by the saints. You know, the saints, God speaks to saints, and sometimes they speak to us, okay? And it's found through situations. And you can see how God is working in a certain situation, right? And you can find the will of God, the four S's. But let me be more broader than that. John MacArthur says this. People running around searching for the will of God, it's very simple. There's four or five things here. This is his general will for your life. Number one, that you be saved, right? If you're not saved, you're out of the will of God, right? You can't never know the rest of the will or the wills that he has for you. His will that we be saved. Secondly, his will that we be sanctified. In other words, set apart for our service for him, right? It's not enough to be saved. You've got to be set apart. And then we've got to be submissive. Submissive to God. Submissive, have a submissive spirit in our lives. It's God's will all through the Bible, New Testament, that his people be submissive. And listen to me, look for number four. According to John MacArthur, he said it's God's will that you suffer. It's God's will that you suffer. it is through suffering that we're made more like Christ, right? And that's not going to go well with Joel Osteen and people like that, but it is through suffering that we really depend upon Him and we really rely on Him and we really have the dross in our life shed away. And then He says, lastly, it's God's will that you serve. If you're a Christian, you're not serving. I ain't necessarily talking about in the local church. There's only so many jobs to go around. We're serving Him out there, right? And if you're not serving Him, you're out of the will of God, right? He has called us to save. He has saved us unto good works and equipped us for service, right? So we need to serve Him. And there's many different kinds of ways to serve Him. I mean, I could mention what you do. I'll leave somebody out. The rest of you get mad. But there's people in our church that sends card. I got a nice Thanksgiving card. From how many of you got a Thanksgiving card? Well, I better not do it that way. I got a nice Thanksgiving card from the Ezels, right? They really sent it to Faye, right? And we come back to church that next time, and I says, thank you for the Thanksgiving card. And then Brother Avon said, what card? And I said, the one with the $100 bill in it, right? He perked up then. What card is he talking about, you know? But we do so many things, don't we? I mean, it don't have to be here at church. We serve on the planet Earth, right? And so whatever you do, and I got a humdinger coming up Christmas Eve as we make a Christian commitment to the new year. And you can go ahead and find it in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1. Four commitments that we need to look forward to in 2018, okay? And that really nails down our life, what we need to be doing. So that's God's general will for us, okay? And so we need to imitate our Father. This is what the text is telling us. And that's why He saved us. And I remember years ago, John was little. That picture I had of John out in the garden with me hoeing. I know that. I was hoeing, folks, I'm telling you. But two. I had a big hoe, and he had a little hoe, and we were out there, and I didn't plant the garden, I don't think, but I was made to go out there and hoe the weeds, and went out there and got a picture of me hoeing, and John behind me with a little hoe, mimicking his father. Boy, howdy. You know? Did I say something funny? Okay. Out there just hoeing. Did I pronounce that right? Okay. All right. But just mimic his father. That's a precious picture, you know. But guess what? What's the name of that song that says your children like just like me? Y'all remember that song? When I Grow Up, yeah. Right? So if you want your children to be what you want them to be, number one, you got to be mimicking the Heavenly Father yourself, right? And leading the example in that. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to get into next Sunday morning, the Spirit-Filled Life, chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. You're going to find something missing in that text that you thought maybe should be there, but it's not. What is the Spirit-Filled Life? And we'll talk about the Spirit-Filled Marriage. And then I want to get into a few Christmas messages on Sunday night coming up after next week. Now, next week we're going to finish Christ in the Old Testament as far as the Psalms go. Okay? Remember, Jesus began with Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. Well, next week we're going to do our last group of Psalms. After that, we're going to have a little break for Christmas, and we're going to get into what the prophets prophesied about the Christ who was to come. Okay? All right, no invitation tonight. We're glad that you're here. And I want to go ahead and remind you, December the 3rd, on a Sunday, 4 o'clock, we're letting Calvary Chapel borrow our baptismal pool. And they're going to be baptizing somebody in our pool there on the 4th, right? Did Brother Henry announce that?
Two people,
yeah. And just don't mess up our Christmas decorations, okay? All right, and you know they're going to be half Baptist when they come out. They're going to have the mark of Trinity Baptist Church on their forehead, right? All right. Anybody got a praise report before we go tonight? I thank the Lord for the Lord. I thank the Lord for my family. And I know you thank the Lord for your family, right? Y'all go into the mountains every year, you'll never get that back, right? I mean, you got to redeem the time, right? And make the most of it, right? Unless you're watching a Georgia Bulldog game and doing that, right? All right. Anybody got a word before we go tonight? Yeah. Morgan, you can go ahead and turn it off if you ain't got it off yet.